Right. Bible readings from Exodus 15:22 to 17:7. Verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why it's called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought onto the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the month of the second month after they came out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we have died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all Israelites, In the evening you will know that it is the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it is the Lord when he gives you the meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are grumbling against us, but you are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelite. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent."
The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. This is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay there where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for generations to come." As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law, so that it may be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. An omer is 1/10 of an ephah. The whole Israelite community set out for the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Redidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Praise God's word.
Thanks, Annabelle. Thanks, Andreas. Very well read. Someone mentioned that to me. Well, he didn't say exactly these words, but he might as well. He said, "Darwin, I'm just tired of being a Christian." You see, he's been finding life to be really hard. Problems with his relationships, with his girlfriend, plus the non-Christian parents who's giving him a hard time. And he said, "I'm just not motivated with Christianity anymore. And every time I pray," he said, "I feel like no one's listening to me. I feel like God's just not there. He's nowhere to be found." Friends, I wonder if you've ever felt that way before as well. I wonder if you've ever asked if God is with you, if he's really listening to your prayers. When you have an ongoing problem in your relationship and you just had enough, is God really with us, you'd ask. Or if you're at school or you're at uni or at work and you get excluded and no one invites you to anything, and no one wants to sit with you during lunchtime, or when the pressures of school or work is just too much and you're tired and you just can't handle it anymore, is God really with us? Or when you've just suffered a great loss and it's painful and no one else seems to be able to understand, is God really with us? You see, it's the end of the year, and I imagine some of you have felt that throughout the year. And if you have, let me tell you this, you are in very good company, because a group of people who are undergoing hardship and testing asked that exact same question. But 3,500 years ago, 3,500 years ago, and at the end of our passage tonight, the Israelites ask, as we've read, they ask this, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Question. Let me pray and we're going to try and answer that question. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks. Speak to us so clearly in the words of Scripture. Father, we give you thanks that you are not silent, that your word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Father, Lord, we give you thanks that you are not silent, so we don't need to feel our way in the dark. So please give us attentive ears and obedient hearts. Please help us that we might follow you always. Amen. All right, we didn't read the first 15 chapters of Exodus, but let me give you a quick rundown. First 15 chapters of Exodus, we find God rescuing the Israelites. That's what it was all about. 15 chapters of Exodus, God rescuing the Israelites with his mighty hand. He heard their cry for help. They were enslaved by the Egyptians, and God remembered his promises to Abraham. So God rescued them from Egypt. He sent the Egyptians 10 plagues, and he rescued the Israelites. He brought them through the Red Sea, this amazing story of God parting the Red Sea and letting the Israelites cross safely from the pursuing Egyptian army. And then we get to Exodus 15, or at least the second part of Exodus 15. The Israelites, they were in the desert, and they're on their way to the Promised Land. But what we find here in Exodus 15 to 17 are three very similar episodes. I wonder if you're reading that, you notice, it's deja vu, it's happening again, it's happening again. And there's three episodes with a repeated pattern in every episode. In each of them, Israel grumbled. And then after that, God showed them kindness and generosity. And throughout these three episodes, we see that God is testing them. It's repeated again and again, isn't it? God is testing them. God's trying to teach them a lesson, an important lesson. And I think it's also a lesson for us to learn. So we find the Israelites in Exodus 15, verse 22. We're in the first episode now. They're traveling from the Red Sea. They're out in the desert for 3 days. They're out in the desert for 3 days. And finally, they found water. It's the desert, guys. Remember, it's the desert. There's no water in the desert. And finally, they found water. But it was bitter. So what did they do? They grumbled. What are we going to drink, Moses? Have a look at verse 22 with me. It's on the outline, or if you prefer, it's going to be up on the screen too, maybe. Yes, it is. Thanks. Exodus 15, verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. That's what it means. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" You see, at first glance, it's fair enough complaint, isn't it? You know, they're out in the desert. There's no water. They haven't found water in 3 days. They're thirsty. And I think there's a sense that we need to be sympathizing with them. We need to be going, wow, this is a serious, serious problem. They're out in the desert. There's no water. It's a big problem. I once went on a youth camp, not with these guys here, not with the people in this church, a youth camp quite a few years ago, and we took them out on a bushwalk, a two-hour bushwalk. Guess what? After half an hour of walking, it began. Can we go back, please? I'm thirsty. Can we find a place to rest? What is that? These are kids complaining after half an hour of walking. See, what's going on in the Exodus is not like that at all. It's a serious problem. I don't think we're supposed to dismiss them and just going to go, oh, grumblers. Put yourself in that situation. You have women and children in your group. There's a lot of people. Hundreds of thousands. It's not a trivial matter. But you see, at the same time, if you've been reading Exodus, I think we're supposed to see that the grumbling is actually ridiculous. In the context of what's happened, it's really, really ridiculous. It seems like they've completely forgotten what's happened in the last 15 chapters of Exodus. You know, surely the God who rained plagues on Egypt, the God who did incredible miracles, the God who has kept his promises, the God who just 3 days before that, parted the Red Sea, guys, and destroyed the mighty Egyptian army. Surely that God can provide them with water. You see, they've lost sight of the bigger picture. The Israelites failed to put their trust in God. That's all Bible study group a long time ago, when we were still leading youth. When we left for Chatswood, they bought us a fish tank and a couple of goldfish as a parting gift. One's called Biscuit, and the other called Bible. They both have passed a long time ago. Apparently, they're called Biscuit and Bible because that's what they have when they have Bible study. They have biscuits and they have the Bible. You know what they say about goldfish? They have a 3-second memory span, right? You know, the goldfish will be swimming around, sees a little castle in the tank, and they'll go, wow, what a nice looking castle. And then turns around, three seconds later, it comes back to the same castle, and it goes, oh, wow, what a nice looking castle. Goldfish have a 3-second memory span. But let me tell you, the Israelites, they seem to have a 3-day memory span. It was only 3 days ago God rescued them from an impossible situation, and now they've forgotten, they've grumbled. And their grumbling is ridiculous. And when faced with this ridiculous grumbling, what did God do? God responded with kindness. God provided for them. Have a look at 15 verse 25. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in the water, and the water became fit to drink. And then there's this comment on God testing them. From all this experience, God wants them to trust him, to obey his commands. And if they do, they're not going to be like the Egyptians. God will provide for them. Continuing from the second half of verse 25, there the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. And this is what God said. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. God wants them to obey him. That's a lesson that they needed to learn. God provided for them. God brought them to this incredible place with 12 springs and 70 palm trees in the middle of the desert. Now, you would have thought, all right, that should teach them. Rather than grumble, they should have trusted God now. But of course, they didn't. Here's the second episode. In the second episode, the pattern begins again. Same pattern. Israel grumbled, and this time around, it's not about water. It's about food. They're traveling in the desert. Their tummy rumbled, and so they grumbled. Pick it up from chapter 16, verse 2. Chapter 16, verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Rather than learning their lesson from the first episode, they grumbled again, and now it's even worse. This time, they would rather go back to Egypt. Did you notice that? They would rather go back to Egypt. God just said, if you obey me, if you obey and trust me, you're not going to die like the Egyptians. And now they're saying, no, we'd rather die like the Egyptians because we get to sit around pots and have meat. Imagine that. These are people who haven't learned their lessons at all. And yet again, God provided for them. And from all this, there's this lesson to learn. Have a look at chapter 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. See, God's really generous towards them. In the evening, God gave them quail, which is a type of bird. And in the morning, God gave them manna, which is a honey-flavored bread. They just appear for them. The birds just fall off the sky, and the bread just appear. And again, God tested them. God wanted them to learn a lesson about trusting and trusting and depending on God. Let's see if they will learn it this time. Chapter 16, verse 16. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. And jump to verse 19. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. See, they failed this test. But again, another one, verse 26. Have a look at verse 26. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but of course they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? See, the lesson of the manna for Israel is this. They're only given enough for one day. Just for one day. And on Friday night, they get together for 2 days. It's a daily reminder that God will provide for them again tomorrow. That it's not up to them, it is up to God, that God will again provide for them tomorrow. They are only to gather enough for that day, trusting that God will give them again tomorrow. It's a daily reminder to humble themselves so they would realize that their lives are completely, completely dependent on God. Completely dependent on the God who rescued them. See, that's the lesson to learn. But of course, they fail. And here's the third episode. Even after all this, Israel still hasn't learned their lesson. In chapter 17, we find the same pattern, and this time it's about water. So we've come full circle in a way. You see, they've come full circle, but they still haven't learned their lesson. And this time, rather than God testing them, it's them testing God. Have a look at 17, verses 1 to 3. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Sound familiar, doesn't it? So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there. They grumbled against Moses. They said, why do you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? But of course, again, you know the pattern, don't you? God became incredibly generous to them again. God told Moses to strike a rock, and water came out of it. And they grumbled, and they grumbled. And the gist of their grumbling is this. The end of verse 7. It is this. Is the Lord among us or not? That's the big question. Have a look at 17 verse 7. And he called the place Massa and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Guys, now that's a long passage. But I want you to see the same pattern repeated again and again. And the gist of their grumbling is this. Is God with us? Does he really care about us? Has he left us? Has he brought us out here and then just leave us by ourselves? And what we can see from the Israelites is that they cannot learn from their lesson. Again and again, they fail to put their trust in God, even when God was so obviously with them. Every day, God gave them food to eat, water to drink. And yet, again and again, every day, they would grumble against God. So unfortunate, isn't it? Every day, they would see quail fall from the sky and manna come out. And yet, they would grumble against God. It's a completely ridiculous grumbling against a generous God. A story of a bunch of people who couldn't learn their lesson. Now, how does this relate to us? Well, in a way, we're on our journey in the desert too. Now, we're not going to a piece of land in Palestine. We're going to heaven. In a way, we've been rescued too, haven't we? Not from Egypt and slavery, but from sin and death, from the bondage of sin. And when we're like them, God has done something incredible and miraculous. God has sent his one and only Son to die for us and saved us from that bondage so that we don't have to die in our sins. And now we are on our way to heaven, our promised land. But it is a treacherous journey. And from time to time, I think we're exactly like the Israelites. From time to time, we grumble. We grumble and we doubt God's goodness to us. You see, we like the Israelites, we have the same problem of forgetfulness. 3 days, it's a long time. And we just forget. And when we forget, our rate of complaining goes up and our rate of thanksgiving goes down. We complain about our inconvenience of our lives. We complain about other people. We complain about ministry. We complain about God. We complain about church. We complain about our parents. But I think even worse, I think some of us have gone past grumbling. We've stopped complaining. We don't have anything to grumble anymore, because you know what? You know what we've done? We've started going back to Egypt. We've gone past grumbling. We've actually started taking steps back to Egypt. We believe the lie that the Israelites told. It was better than in Egypt. We have food to eat. We've believed that lie and we've started taking steps back to Egypt. And we think to ourselves, no, this is too hard. Being a Christian is too hard, and trusting God is too hard. Obeying God's commands is too hard. Yes, telling God, yes, I will do what you say, it's too hard. Having His priorities, it's too hard. Accepting His morality, it is too hard. Having His priorities, it is too hard. It is much easier being a non-Christian. And so we start taking steps back, and we do it by our little choices, choices that say, it is so much better in Egypt. But it's a terrible lie, isn't it? Because it is not better in Egypt. For the Israelites, it means slavery and death, and for us, it's even worse. I think what we need to do is we need to remember a lot more. I think that's our problem. We don't remember quite enough. We don't stop and remember. We just go on, and so we forget about God's goodness to us. We forget about what God has done for us. Like the Israelites, we have this daily reminder of what God has provided for us. See, we don't find it in manna in our backyard or quail falling down on our heads. The Bible tells us that God has given us much more to tell us, to demonstrate to us that He is with us. He has given us so much more to say that He is providing for us. Rather than manna in the desert fill our stomach, He has given us the bread of life. The bread of life that gives us eternal life. See, in John chapter 6, in the Gospel of John, Jesus performed this feeding miracle. After feeding 5,000 people with 5 bread and 2 fish, Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 32 to 35. It's going to be up on the screen. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said, from now on gives us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So you get what this passage is saying? Jesus is our bread of life, the one who gives eternal life. Jesus is God's provision for us, not just at one time, but every day, because as we feed on Him every day, He gives us eternal life. He is everything that we need as we wander in our desert. And the lesson for us to learn is the same lesson that the Israelites were supposed to learn, and it is this, that we can put our trust in the God who is obviously with us. See, often like the Israelites, we reach a point in our Christian journey when things are just tough. And naturally, we wonder. See, the Israelites failed to put their trust in God. They've forgotten that their previous journey. They've forgotten that the chapters of their journey. They've forgotten that God parted the sea in chapter 14. They've forgotten how God saved them in the Passover in chapter 12. They failed because they lost sight of the bigger picture. They failed to put their trust in the God who is always with them. So can I encourage you, when things are difficult, when you are tempted to grumble and complain, when you are tempted to take those steps back to Egypt, can I encourage you to turn back to the pages, to the previous chapters of your journey with God, when God by His grace rescued you from your sins, not because you're a good person, but because He loves you. Turn back when He gave you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that one day you will have eternal life. Turn back to when God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. Turn back to when He gave us Jesus, our bread of life, so that we who believe in Him might have eternal life. And turn back to the good things that He gives us every day. I think when we do this, we will realize that our grumbling is just ridiculous. A few years ago, I met this guy up in Brisbane. He was involved in a car accident some years ago, and he was left permanently brain damaged. So rather than mana in the morning as a reminder of how good God is, he wakes up with a terrible headache every morning. His speech and his movements are much slower. He can't hold a job anymore. He can't process things as he did before. He was smart. He was fast. Now he's slow. He tires easily to a point where he just can't do any work. All these things are reminders, daily reminders, that things are bad for him. That he should be grumbling and complaining. You know what? This guy, every time I see him, every time I get an email from him, he never stops praising God. He never stops praising how great and how good God is. He would ask me, "How has the Father been good to you, Darwin?" This is a man who knows that God is with him. This is a man who does not forget what God has done for him. He doesn't remember things very easily these days, but he remembers one most important thing, that God is good to him. Guys, I think when things are tough, it's God trying to teach us that same lesson that he wants to teach the Israelites. That we are to depend on him, the God who is really good and who is always with us. That's what he wants us to learn. And I hope we'll be able to do that. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are incredibly kind. Father, when we are tempted to grumble, when we are tempted to not remember how good you are, please stop us. Please help us to go back to the time when you did all those gracious things for us. Help us to dwell in your scripture daily so that we can be reminded daily. Help us to give our attention to you, the one who has done amazing things in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us not to be like the Israelites. Those who are given daily reminders of your kindness and your provision, but still grumble. And as we look to the new year, Father, give us a fresh start. That next year will be the year that we will always remember how kind and good you are, and that will be a year when we will kindly remind each other when we forget. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.